and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Tech Exec Podcast. I'm your host, Aviv Ben-Yosef, and our subject today is the perfect team, or at least the team that thinks it's perfect. It's not often, but from time to time, I sit down with CEOs or CTOs who describe their teams as teams that need no help. And me being me, I tend to start poking around and asking questions because I simply do not believe that you cannot be better. I don't believe that anyone in our business thinks that they have achieved the best kind of team or the best solution or the best process or the best product. We all are striving to make things better. Otherwise, you wouldn't have anything on your roadmap, right? You'd be sitting at home doing I don't know what. But right now you're sitting at home and working on a product, so you have something to do. You know that you can do better and you are actually working on it. So let's try and break down what you're talking about when you're saying that you've got the perfect team, because these are the kinds of questions I ask my clients in order to help them understand where they should be focusing their efforts on. So yeah, you might have a darn good team. Let's say that's a given. Now let's think, where can you make them even better? How can you increase your leverage as a team on the business? First of all, let's talk about your people. You might have the greatest team ever. Each one of them is a world-renowned expert at what they do. You probably don't, but you might. For this to happen, it usually has to be a small startup. Let's say that they have a bunch of excellent engineers. Every one of them is super capable, very, very smart, brightest people they could find. And those people are the top at their craft. So what can we improve, right? I've seen these teams, especially, for example, in my service in the Israeli army, in one of the cyber units where I witnessed how some people can be amazing. Capable of learning things so fast, capable of understanding whatever is needed. And yet these people might not be working together as a team. If they do not know how to collaborate, then you've got a bunch of really smart people running around in different directions, and you don't have a lens focusing all of that effort into one big force. My previous podcast episode was about engineering force multipliers. And this is exactly how individual contributors can be force multipliers, by knowing how to collaborate and work as a team. And unfortunately, many times it is these specialists who suck at working collaboratively the most. They each focus on what they do, and they do not focus on how to work together with the entire team. So think, is your team capable of teamwork? Or are they a bunch of people in a team trying to work? And even if they are a team that has gelled, a team that knows how to work together effectively, are they just good at what they do? Or are they empowered so that they know what they should be doing and where should they be investing their effort? Let's break this down. First of all, are they empowered? Have you provided them with the autonomy to do the best thing they can do? This is about you as the leader and about your company culture. Are you letting go so that those teams get a big business goal to solve and have the power to do it? This is not simply delegation. We're talking about real empowerment, where they have the ability to push on what needs pushing. They can decide how to solve the issue. They do not get tasks, they get goals. So first, consider, are you empowering your engineers? Now, you cannot simply give them power without giving them the right focus, because then they might go off, do things, amazing things, but things no one cares about. So you need to provide them with focus. Focus is one of the key ways you as a leader have your own leverage. This is how you act as the force multiplier. You have to provide them with the ability to understand what is currently important for the business. What are the goals that need to be addressed? When should they keep on going, and when whatever they have achieved is enough? And with that, of course, comes also product mastery. I have a previous episode about product mastery, but to sum it up, product mastery means that those engineers don't just understand really well what their discipline is, really good data engineers or mobile engineers. You want engineers who understand the product really well. They have met customers recently. They see your support emails. They understand why features are being scheduled. They understand the actual company roadmap. This is product mastery. And if you do not have it, your people will not work on the right things. They will not know when to stop, so you have to provide them with product mastery. Again, go check that big episode with a bunch of ways to incorporate it. It's in the show notes. This also applies from the other way around. You do not just provide them with product mastery. They need to have a clear strategy of your business. They need to understand exactly how things are being done, who's accountable for what are the key strategic factors for your company at this current stage in time, so that they know how they can help you leverage and reach the wanted future state. Otherwise, again, they might be doing amazing work when it comes to quality, or even when it comes to innovation and novelty, but it might be work that no one cares about, or that you have something more urgent that needs to be done. Creating the amazing strategy for your team might not seem obvious, especially if you're used to spending a month to decide on your yearly roadmap and then don't actually revisit it. And frankly, most of the engineers I work with are not even privy of the strategy. They get some big roadmap tasks and that's it. But you can and should, again, as a leader here, make sure that you have a strategy that is comprehensive and accessible to your team. If you haven't redone your 2020 strategy, by the way, which I'm assuming basically all of you should because, well, there's a pandemic, reach out to me. I have a new offering for Sentient Strategy, a new and amazing way to create a strategy in a couple of days remotely that will change the way you work. And if you sign up before it's on my website, you get a big discount. That's it, end of plug. So, first of all, you have to make sure that you have a strategy, and second, that your team is aware of it. Next on a list of how you're going to be assessing whether your team is perfect or just perfect is, are they innovating regularly? How can you even measure that? How often does your team come up with new ideas of things that need to be done that, well, no one above them thought about? We're not just talking about features. We're talking about outright innovation. Things you are not sure are going to work, but that if they do work, you are bound to get big leverage in your company. They are bound to make a big impact on the business, on the way you operate. Teams that do not innovate might be perfect when it comes to meeting the deadlines, doing what they're told, getting all the sprint tasks done. But those are teams who are often constantly within their own comfort zones. Those are teams that are not pushing the envelope. They will not bring you the next idea you need in order to sustain whatever you think you're doing superbly. I've seen this many, many times, where in startups, teams might be the most innovative during the first year or so, but after that, it starts waning down and you do not want to be there. If you see the innovation muscle, the creativity muscle starting to atrophy, you know that you have to induce more creativity into your team. And that requires effort on your side. And lastly, even if you have all of the above, you believe that you have a team that works as a team, they are truly empowered, they have a focus, product mastery, they innovate regularly. Consider, can you keep it this way as the team grows? assuming you're going to have to grow the team in the near future, do you believe that the team can continue to operate at this level as the team gets bigger, as you add on more people, maybe as you add on more structure? So make sure that you set yourself to be ready for the growth that's going to come, that you know how things should change, because it is very rarely that things can remain the same as you're growing. Right now, I'm helping multiple teams change up the structure. Part of it is to make them work more effectively during the pandemic and working from home. But part of it is also because they have grown and realized that they needed to make changes to the way they were operating in order to be as effective or even more. So don't assume that whatever has been working will keep on working forever without the needed tweaks. Simply because you were able to be good for a while, don't take it for granted that your team will continue to operate at that same level forever. And one last point to consider. We started this with the question, do you believe you cannot be better? Now, instead of directing it as I originally did to you as your whole team, I'm directing it specifically to you, the leader. Do you believe that you yourself cannot be better? After all, as we've discussed, you've got a bunch of ways to leverage how your company works to act as a true force multiplier, an engineering force multiplier that can make things more effective by orders of magnitude sometimes. Do you truly believe that you have reached your potential to the fullest, or can you leapfrog some of the competition, jump over some of the common mistakes by applying the right tools and by getting the right help? Consider that. And truly, I wish you that you have and get that perfect team. But once you get it, it's on you to maintain it. That's it for this week's short episode. If you haven't signed up yet, I have a weekly newsletter coming out with 3 exclusive insights for tech executives I don't share anywhere else. Sign up in the link in the show notes. That's it for this week. Stay safe and talk to you soon.